Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, Faith in the Most Unlikely of Places.
First scripture lesson, 2 Samuel 5, verses 1 through 5, and can be found on your pew Bible on page 243. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time when Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over Israel.' So the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. At Hebron he reigned over Judah for 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem he reigned over all of Israel and Judah 33 years."
Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, starting at verse 21. It says, "Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon.' But he did not answer her at all. The disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us.' And he answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered her, 'Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish.' And her daughter was healed instantly." This is the word of our Lord. And let us pray. Gracious God, once again, we give you thanks for your presence, not only in worship and in song, but in prayer, and now, Lord, through the preaching of your word. Holy Spirit, we pray that the word that is for us this day, may it seep deep into our hearts. And so, Father, may the words of my mouth and also the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the titles that Jesus is given in the New Testament is he is called the Son of David. And Eric read that scripture verse for us from 2 Samuel. And the reason he's called the Son of David is because he is the great shepherd. And, you know, shepherds are people who they bring back sheep that have wandered away. They guide, they instruct. It also says that you will know the shepherd by his voice. And so in this story that we're about to witness, Jesus will be a good shepherd to us. And he is going to show us what it means to be lost. But also he's going to show us what is the stuff that you are made of. You know what I mean by the stuff that you're made of? He's going to show you what is the things that you are made of. And so our story begins with Jesus. He's been traveling with his disciples, and he is in the northern part of Israel, which over the years has become an international zone, you might say. There are Jews and non-Jews who live together. And we may not realize this, but the text is instructing us that Jesus goes to this region almost as a retreat, to get away perhaps for a few days. But ironically, as he is in this area, probably looking forward to some downtime, a woman, perhaps she's been following him, or perhaps she comes running towards him, but she says, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." So much for downtime, I guess. All of a sudden, Jesus and we are thrust back into the harsh reality of our world, that there is a place where need and compassion are always intersecting. And you would think that with such a request, with tears in her eyes, yelling, pleading for God, for Jesus to do something, that Jesus would say, "Well, yes, daughter, what can I do for you?" But in fact, Jesus doesn't say a word. In fact, it's as if he says, "No." Why? Why? Now, there are a few cultural things that are taking place in this story. And the first one is that she's a woman. And in this culture at this time, men and women did not mix in public. You know, there are stories where rabbis with their spouses would walk feet in front of them so that there would be no hint of impropriety between them. Also, she is a foreigner. She is a Canaanite. She is not a Jew. And so she really has no business talking to a rabbi. And also, Jesus ignores her because she is a non-Jew talking to a Jew, and Jesus, out of concern, needs to maintain ceremonial purity. Now, in this story, there is also other characters that we don't see. And they're the ones that are actually observing everything that is taking place. And these are the disciples. And what Jesus is showing them is he is going to show them where their line of thinking will take them. And so he says to her, "No." Now, the disciples, it's interesting because what they're doing here is they're receiving instruction that's very much in the Middle East, ancient tradition of education. You know, when I was a kid and the teacher would call me to a math problem on the board, I'd go to the board and I'd start figuring it out. And all of a sudden, I'd get to the very end and it would be like 5 remainder 57, which, if you know math, is pretty much impossible. Like, you're just not going to get a 5 remainder 57. Unless you create a 5 remainder 57. But a good teacher will see what you're doing, and she'll let you work it all the way out to its logical conclusion. And she'll say, "Oscar, good try. Good try. Let's do it again, though." And if she was a good teacher, she would observe where you made your mistakes, so that when you got to that very same point, she could say, or he could say, "Okay, think about this one a little bit more. What do you think the answer is?" And this is what Jesus is doing. He is showing the disciples what it means to let your theology, your thoughts, your line of thinking come to their very last conclusions. And so what Jesus, the disciples come to him and they say, "Jesus, send her away. She's yelling, she's annoying." And you'd expect that Jesus would respond to them of like, "Yeah, but you know, there's some real need going on here." And in fact, Jesus responds very differently. He looks at his disciples, he says, "You know, you're right. I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I wasn't sent for her. I was only sent for the lost sheep of Israel." And so what you have here is you have the collision of a spiritual truth. The spiritual truth is that there is absolute faith in Jesus. And then you have a social truth, which is that Jesus' own culture and religion won't allow him to bridge those two together. It literally will not allow him to help this woman. And so this is what Jesus tells us. He says that if we continue to be guided by our culture, if we continue to be guided by our religion, then the only logical conclusions for us are that when a woman is pleading for her daughter who is demon-possessed and needs healing, your only response will be no. And this is the sickening part about it. We will actually feel justified, we will feel holy about the whole exchange. Why? because we will have been playing exactly into what our culture tells us. We'll have been playing exactly into what our religion is telling us to do. They are not worthy. They are not you. Now, interesting enough, what Jesus says here, he says, I was only sent to the lost sheep. And I think what Jesus is doing here is he wants to reframe, what does it mean to be lost? What does that mean? You know, when we think of someone being lost, we think of them as being damned. We think of them being cursed, damaged, and worthless. That's what we think of when we think of someone being lost. But funny enough, Jesus, when he talks about lost, he says there was a lost son, there was a lost coin, there was a lost sheep. And so what Jesus is telling us here is he tells this beautiful parable at one time about a woman who had 10 silver coins and she lost just one of them. And this is the image that he portrays for us so that we can understand what God is like. He says this woman turns her whole house upside down just to find that one coin. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, it's just a coin. Big deal. No. You only think things are lost when they actually hold value to you. You know, a good friend of mine, he recently told me, he said, we think of lost as being a condition, but in reality, it's about placement. You're just not where you need to be at that moment. And so what Jesus is really teaching us here is that lost does not mean damned, cursed, and damaged, and worthless. You only call what is lost valuable. You actually feel when something is missing, when something is not in its right place. You ever lost car keys before? Those get lost, and they hold real value. This woman is lost, but she's valuable. Let me take this a little bit further. There is a passage in the book of Jeremiah where God speaks to him, and he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I had set you apart for a holy purpose. Now, some things are literally too wonderful for me to think about, and this is one of those things. Before your parents even came together, before anything, you were an idea. You were a discussion point around the dinner table. You were already known by God, and you were chosen, and you were set apart for a purpose. You were valuable. And this is what Eugene Peterson says. He says, before I was good for anything, God decided that I was good for what he was doing. My place in life doesn't depend on how well I do in the entrance exam. My place in life is not determined by what market there is for my type of personality. God is out to win the world in love, and each person has been selected in the same way that Jeremiah was, to be set apart to do it with him. He doesn't want to see how we turn out to decide if he'll choose us or not, because before we were born, he chose us to be on his side, and he set us apart. When people are lost, they're outside of that place of calling. They're just out of place. And God knows it because he chose all of us. So this is the lesson the disciples need to learn. If you allow your culture and you allow your religion to tell you that that person is worthless, not has no value, then you will just keep saying no. So the disciples have now learned their lesson of how they are supposed to think. As the story continues, the woman obviously has heard the message that Jesus has been saying. And the scriptures tells us that she kneeled down, but in reality, what she did is she fell to the ground. And she pleaded, Lord, please help me. You would expect that now Jesus would say, daughter, what is it that you need? But Jesus says something else. You know, it's not right to take food given to children and just toss it to dogs. It's pretty harsh. What's going on here now? You see, now is her opportunity. This is now her test. This is where her faith is being molded. This is where her faith is being refined. You see, when Jesus calls her a dog, it is a huge insult. Jews would call non-Jews, they would call them dogs because dogs were scavengers. They were dirty, they were rowdy, they were loud. And so Jesus insults the woman. But you also have to realize one thing. Life throws a lot of things at you. People throw things at you. And you know what? All of us have at one point or the other been exactly at this place in our lives. And if you've never been there, then you are lying to yourself. But there is something about being here. It's not comfortable. It's tense. But there's something really powerful that takes place here. You know, lately the Lord's been speaking to me about what we deserve. You know, some of us get to this place of brokenness and we think to yourself, I deserve a bad marriage. I deserve bad kids. I deserve poverty. I deserve everything that life has thrown at me. This is my posture that I will stay at for the rest of my life. And that's what I deserve. And some of us keep living our lives always this posture. But I'm so thankful, so thankful that Jesus doesn't say, that's what you're made of. You're made of brokenness. You're made to wither all the time. No. See, here's the powerful thing that Jesus says. Jesus says, stop it. You want to keep believing that you're fated towards these things? Stop it. And this woman responds in faith. She says, but even dogs eat crumbs from the master's table. She's like turning the whole thing around on him. She's saying like, you're right, but yet there is still faith. There is still faith. And folks, that is what we are made of. We are made of faith. And so what we do is we rise up, we stand back up, we get up, and we are then called people of great faith. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, the only time that Jesus will ever say that anybody had great faith was with this woman alone. She's the only one that Jesus says, woman, great is your faith. That is what we're made of. That is the stuff in you. Brokenness, witherness, if you want to keep believing that, that's fine. But let me tell you the gospel. That is the gospel, folks. You get up and you rise up because Jesus does it for us. I want you to bow your heads with me. I want to pray a prayer for us. Father, this morning I pray for any of us here who feel lost. Lord, or perhaps we are lost. God, we're out of place. Maybe our lives are a little bit disarrayed. Maybe our sins, God, have led us into a different path. Maybe we're bound by sin. Maybe we're defeated by something. Lord, if we're lost, remind us. Draw us close. Call us. Find us. Lord, as well this morning, I feel that for a few folks in this room, there are people who are dealing with very deep regrets. Lord, when they saw that analogy of the chair, they thought to themselves, that's me. That's the life I'm called to live. I am called to always be down there. And some of you are dealing with so much regret that this morning, God wants to set you free. And so if that's you this morning, please open your hearts to receive the healing that God has for you. And for all of us in this place, Lord, we ask for your mercy. We ask for grace. We ask for faith. Please speak to us, Holy Spirit.